For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Let's pray. Father, tonight we have gathered to hear Your word. And Your word itself tells us that it is living and it is active and it is sharp. And Lord, I pray that tonight in our own lives, that by the power of Your word and Your word alone, we would be changed. Tonight, Lord Jesus, we're so thankful for Your grace. It is an amazing grace, an unbelievable mercy that You have poured out on us who were nasty, dirty, defiled sinners. But because You paid our price in full on the cross, who have been made clean, who have been given a righteousness that is not our own, but that is credited to us. And so, Lord, we pray that You would transform us tonight. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. It's been about 3 or 4 years ago now. I was in my office and we were preparing to go tailgate at Western Kentucky University before one of the football games. And me and a girl in the ministry were gathering up all the stuff. And if you can imagine, we were tailgating to feed 150 people. So there was a lot of stuff to gather up. And I'm in a frenzy trying to get everything put together. And all of a sudden, outside my office appears this tall, blonde-headed woman. And she looked to be about in her late 30s to early 40s. And she had tears streaming down her face. And this is a Saturday. And so I look at her and I'm like, can I help you? And the subtitle of that, which was going on in my mind, was, don't you know how much I've got to do today? Will you leave me alone? It's Saturday. Come back Tuesday, okay? But I looked at her, and she had tears streaming down her face. And she came in. She said, I need to talk to somebody. Can I talk to you? I said, I guess I'll do. And we sat down and talked. And she began to tell me that for the past 11 years of her life, she had read the Bible over and over. Every day, every night, she read the Word of God. And as she pored over the Word of God, not as a believer, but as a skeptic, God began to reveal things to her about her own life. And God began to speak to her about things that were going on in her own specific life and how God could bring change and transformation to those areas. And so she gets done telling me the story, and I just look at her and I said, well, so what are you here for today? And she said, I've got to get saved. I know the Bible tells me how to get saved, and so I've come here so you can witness it. I'm going to get saved right now. And I sat back and I thought, but I didn't do anything. I didn't tell you what to do. I didn't tell you the prayer to pray. I didn't do anything. I just sat here and listened to you while you talked. And right then, God clicked something in my mind and spoke it into the depths of my heart. Is that this thing right here that we carry around, some of us leave it on our dashboard, some of us have beautiful carrying cases, hand-embroidered carrying cases for it. Others of us have about 45 of them. Sometimes we'll read one. This thing that I hold in my hand and that you hold in your hand or that you'll look up in the screen and see tonight, this thing, through the power of the Holy Spirit enlightening our minds, has the power to change us. It has the power to make us totally unlike what we were before. How many of you in here tonight can give testimony that the Word of God has the power to change? And we know that the Word of God has the power of change because the Holy Spirit speaks to us through it. And the Holy Spirit tells us of Jesus and opens this Word to us that we might understand what God is telling us. There's life in the pages of this book. For Jesus the Christ is in the pages of this book. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Tonight you've gathered to be the church. You didn't come to church. That's a misnomer. That's an incorrect saying. Church is not this building. It has nothing to do with this building. Church is you. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are the church. So welcome to church. There's a lot of us gathered here tonight. And as we gather as the church, things happen. Things happen. Before I came over here tonight, one of our deacons and his family came in my office, and I'm coming in from football practice, and I'm getting ready to get changed and all that, and they said, we just want to pray with you. Well, again, don't you know I'm in a hurry? And they stop and they pray. You know what they prayed for tonight? The same thing we prayed for in staff devotion yesterday. The same thing we pray for as a staff every day. that if there's anybody in this room who does not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that upon hearing the Word of God tonight, the Holy Spirit would touch you and that you would receive Christ as your Lord. That upon hearing the Word of God tonight, the Spirit of God would convict you of sin, let you know how bad you are, and let you know how good Jesus is. That you might invite Jesus into your life to be your Lord and Savior. That's what we prayed for. And so we have an agenda tonight. Is that okay with you? But I'm up front about the agenda. At least I'm not up here lying about it. We want you to get saved if you don't know Jesus. And I'll tell you why we're so adamant about that. I just came from the hospital, where a dear brother is more than likely on his last leg. I spent time with his family, and he had a brother-in-law who's been wanting to get baptized, but he wanted to wait till his brother-in-law, who's in the hospital, could be here. They called me and said, come up here now. So I went up there now. And this brother-in-law grabs me and he said, I want it done right now. And I didn't know what he was talking about. I'm like, well, what do you want done right now? He said, I want to be baptized. And so we baptized him right there. And I just wonder how many of us would be so serious about our faith that when God speaks to us, now is the time to step in obedience. Now is the time to receive me as Lord. Now is the time to get in that water and profess your faith in me. I wonder how many of us would just do it because that's what God said. We're going to look at a passage from Acts, okay? Pastor Jamie Ward preached this sermon on Sunday. That's why I'm preaching it tonight. I'm going to tell you, if you weren't here Sunday, go buy the DVD. Okay, God will bless you and speak to you through the words of his sermon. But tonight, turn with me to Acts chapter 4. And we're going to start at verse 23. And let me give you a little background. Peter and John have been imprisoned. The Jews have imprisoned them. This is shortly after Jesus died on the cross, rose from the grave, and then ascended into heaven. And he said, my Holy Spirit will come and empower you. And so in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes and it empowers them. And they continue the ministry that Jesus had of healing the sick, of touching the lame, of giving sight to the blind, of raising the dead. Because the Spirit of God dwelt in them and empowered them. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law, they didn't care for it because, see, they were the ones who had affected the crucifixion of Jesus in the first place. They thought, well, he's dead now. We won't have to worry about it anymore. And all of a sudden this movement emerges and people are still getting healed and people are still getting better and people are still giving their lives to Jesus. And so they take them in and they question them and they tell them, quit talking about Jesus. And Peter and John look at them and they say, are you crazy? I'm paraphrasing. They say, you judge which is better, for us to do what you want or for us to do what God wants. How can we close our mouths about what we have seen and heard? And they continue on. Well, they go back to the fellowship. They go back to church. And they report what has happened. And verse 23 says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Any of y'all ever been kind of made fun of because you follow Christ? Any of y'all ever been talked bad about because you follow Jesus? Anybody ever been told just to shut up about Jesus? Yeah. Same thing. What they're saying is, you told us this was going to happen. Now this is our prayer. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they all were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. What did they just pray for? What did they pray for? They prayed that God would stretch out his hand and bring about healings and miraculous signs and wonders, right? Yeah. And we're going to see that God did. They prayed, God, send signs and wonders. But there was only one reason why they wanted signs and wonders. They had been with Jesus. They knew what had happened. The dead could be raised to life. The blind could be given sight. The lame could be healed and made to walk. But they also knew that that was only a temporary healing. There's one reason that they wanted the miracles. You know what it was? So that people would see and that they might believe. So that people would see and that as they proclaimed boldly the word of God, people's lives would be changed. And it said men and women came by the droves to give their life to Jesus. Their lives were changed. The whole point of a miracle is not the miracle in itself. The point of a miracle is not the miracle itself. The point of the miracle is to show the power and majesty and glory of God, that the people who see might believe. You come to Hillview Heights Church. Y'all ever been persecuted because you come to Hillview Heights Church? How many of y'all have heard we're a cult? You've heard it? All right, we're not. I'll just go on and tell you, we're not a cult. But I've heard that. It's funny when you don't look like a pastor, people will tell you all kinds of great things. I mean, I've been told everything. Oh, they don't even preach the Bible. Hello? I guess I'll put this up. Gosh, they don't preach the Bible. They'll let anybody in. Well, thank God, that's how I got here. Thank God they'll let anybody in. Lenny, is that a thank God moment for you too? Thank God they'll let anybody in. My goodness gracious. We'll even let people like Chris Mintz in here. We'll let her work here. That the power of God might be revealed. Thank God. Well, I teach the membership class, and as people join the church, I'm over membership and all that. And you know what I hear over and over in story after story? People love the fact that they'll let anybody in to this church. They said, I figure if they'll let anybody in, they'd let Jesus in too. And you know what? I'm so thankful to be a part of that. I'm so thankful that Pastor Steve Ayers and his leadership under the guidance of the Holy Spirit has created an environment where you're welcome and where I'm welcome. Because do you realize that you and I wouldn't be welcome in all places? Delena, Lord have mercy. Delena cuts hair out at the mall and she welcomes people of all everything. And they come. Why? Because the Spirit of God lives in Delena. And she doesn't even talk bad about them after they leave. If she has something bad to say, she'll tell them. She's told me many times. Yeah. But our number one goal is not that all people would be welcomed here. That's not it. Don't confuse that. Our number one goal is C1 of C3HD. C1 is this, that Hillview Heights Church would be a place where people could connect to Jesus through the cross and the resurrection. Our number one core value is that we would connect people to Jesus Christ. Because here's what we know. If you come to this church for a lifetime, if you're here every time the doors are open, if you participate in every ministry, if you do everything that the church program says is able to be done, if you serve the poor, if you feed the hungry, if you all these things, you will die and go to hell. You can do every bit of it. You can go to every Bible study we have, which we would appreciate it if you do. I would particularly, as that my paycheck depends on it. I'm kidding. You can go to every Bible study we have. You could help at every oil change we do. But if you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's all for naught. And you will go to hell for all eternity. You say, well, that's not very nice. Listen, God told us to deal in truth. And sometimes the truth is not very nice. If my father were here, he's gone on to the great cloud of witnesses, but if he was here, he would look at me probably tonight and say, son, you need to lose weight. And I'd get mad. And I'd say, dad, that's not very nice. But I knew he'd be telling the truth. Just because it's not nice doesn't mean it's not true. Our number one goal here is that you might be connected to Jesus Christ. And our number one goal is that your friends, your neighbors, your family might be connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to tell you something. When that moment of death comes, there is no consolation outside of Christ. There is nothing. I've only had to officiate 2 funerals where we didn't know. And those are the hardest 2 funerals I've ever done. And I've done funerals for family members who died way too young. But those are the hardest 2 funerals, because what do I say to the family? I want you to hear today that Jesus loves you and that he has made a way for you to be saved. But I can't tell them that grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, whoever is in heaven. That's not my call. Our number one thing at Hillview is that we would be able to speak the word of God boldly so that people would hear and lives might be changed. The number one goal of the first church was to preach the word of God boldly so that people would hear and that lives might be changed. Now listen to what Luke, the writer of Acts, does. He goes from this insanely spiritual prayer where they're all filled with the Holy Spirit and they're in this spiritual high and the building they're in shakes and all of a sudden the Spirit of God is here and they're empowered to go live. And listen to what it goes from this great crescendo. It says this, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. He goes from this spiritual high to what seems like the most mundane practical detail. They pray, the building shakes, everything's great, and they shared things. I mean, isn't that kind of a letdown to you? It's a little bit of a letdown to me. I want God to do something miraculous, spectacular, powerful. Not just that they shared. The fact that they shared everything they had is miraculous and powerful and ground-shaking. You live in the same world I do. How many people share? Any of you ever been down and out on your luck and you just need a little bit to get back going? It's like getting blood out of a turnip, isn't it? Yeah. We live in the same. What's mine is mine, right? This is my house, my yard, my dog, my whatever. Jeremy Lee's got a dog that is not just his because I see it running up and down the neighborhood all the time. But it's mine, 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 mine. Everybody wants to take. When you vote for president, the number one deciding factor, even in the middle of a war, that many of us will use as to who we will vote for is, what can I get out of it? What kind of money can they get me? What programs will they install that will give me more? Right? Right? We talk a lot about the war, but the main driver in the presidential election is not the war. And that's a sad fact. That we are so selfish, men and women are dying to fight for freedom, but we're more concerned about the fact that I get my stuff. See, there's a difference. What was so powerful and miraculous and glorious about what they tell us about this first church after the Holy Spirit filled them is that they were transformed. You see, outside of Christ, all I'll do is take. Outside of Christ, all I'll do is look out for me. That's all I'll do. I don't care about you. I might do a humanitarian thing. I might go green. I might recycle my water bottle. But really, that's about me. So I can say, look at my recycling habit. But when I'm in Christ and I'm transformed, all of a sudden it becomes not about me anymore, but it becomes about us. Outside of Christ, all I can do is take. But when I'm in Christ, I can give. You know, right now we're building a building. It's a big building. And it costs a lot of money to build it. And I'm going to echo what Pastor Jamie Ward said on Sunday. God's going to build that building. You know why? Because the building's not there so we can say, look how beautiful our campus is. I mean, it's going to be beautiful, sure, but that's not the point. The building is going up. That huge hole is in the ground. As a tool that we might boldly proclaim the word of God to children and youth all over this region. And we have come together as a body of Christ to give to this so that lives of people we won't even know will be changed by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we give to the building. That's why you don't hear Pastor Steve or Pastor Jamie begging you for money. We don't beg you for money because we know God's going to build the building. But just as Jamie said on Sunday, as your brother in Christ, as your brother in Christ, I got to encourage you to give to that. Because if you don't, 10 years from now, when thousands upon thousands of young people's lives have been utterly turned upside down by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't be able to say you had any part of it. That's just the bottom line. You say, well, it takes sacrifice. Well, it took sacrifice to save your soul. God gave it all. He slaughtered His Son for you. Yeah, but these are tough economic times. I understand. But McDonald's is still doing great. And every gas station I go to is still packed out, even though we're paying an arm and a leg for the gas. And I still see a bunch of Hummers and SUVs and big trucks like mine on the road. Apparently it's not bad enough for us to all ride our bicycle yet. And so what I'm saying is this. We want you to give, not so we can build a building and say, look what we have done as a church. We want you to give so God might use that as a tool, that the Word of God might be boldly proclaimed and lives might be changed. That's the point. If I am in Christ, it becomes less about my stuff and more about the people that God's called me to love, doesn't it? Any y'all ever found yourself as a believer loving people that you otherwise would not have loved? Any y'all ever found yourself loving people and having mercy on people that you really wanted to smack? How many of you are married? Yes, you have. Any of you ever found yourself reacting in a total opposite way than what you formerly would have reacted in Christ? Yeah. Why? Because the Spirit of God's changing you. That's the point. That's why we give to that building. Listen, we're not trying to pad the pastor's salaries. That ain't it. Every bit of it goes there. So that every bit of the glory might go to God. And that every bit of the Word of God might be spread to people in this region. Oh, and as a side note, if I haven't been transformed by the Holy Spirit, then I'm not saved. Listen, if you say you've been coming to church and following Christ for 10 years and you're no different than you were when you got saved, you ain't saved. Just because you recited a prayer don't mean nothing, okay? God looks at the heart, not at the words that come out of your mouth. Remember what Paul wrote in Romans? Believe in your heart. Let's say, profess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Well, I have a feeling there's going to be on the last day a lot of people who profess Jesus is Lord, but nothing was going on in here. And I'm going to tell you something, guys, and this is a hard teaching, but if you are the same as you were and it's been many years since you've received Christ, you're not saved. And so I would greatly consider the gospel tonight. And I can promise you it happens. We have people in this church who used to be the best pharmaceutical salesman in the county, except for they didn't have a license. And what they were selling was not necessarily pharmaceutical grade. And now they teach Bible study. And they're deacons and they lead the church. Why? Because the Spirit of God transformed them. And if there's no transformation in you, then get on your knees and repent and believe. The Bible gives us two examples that I'm just going to tell you about quickly. It tells us about Barnabas, which was the nickname for Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus. Barnabas comes into play later on in the book of Acts as he really encourages and helps the Apostle Paul become the Apostle Paul. He was Saul, and all the disciples were scared to death of Saul because Saul was breathing murderous threats. And after Saul became Paul, Saul got saved. Barnabas was the one who took him to the other disciples and said, listen to what he has to say. God's done an amazing work. And there's other things that Barnabas did, but bottom line, Barnabas sold a field and he brought everything he got from the field and he laid it at the apostles' feet and said, use it for the community. Use it for the glory of God. Use it that we might boldly proclaim the word of God so that people might be changed. And then there was another couple, Ananias and Sapphira. And they saw Barnabas sell this plot of land and bring the money and lay it at the apostles' feet. And I'm sure they heard a couple, man, that Barnabas is really something. You know, you ever have somebody at church that does something great and somebody's bragging on them and all of a sudden you don't rejoice with them, you get jealous as all get out? Well, don't they know what I can do? Somebody gives us a big gift. Well, don't they know that I can give a bigger gift than them? Well, Ananias and Sapphira saw Barnabas getting celebrated And so here's what they do. They decide of their own volition. The church didn't require them to do this. This wasn't in the bylaws of the church that they go sell this. No, they decided they were going to sell a piece of land too. But what they decided to do was to sell it and keep some of the money for themselves and bring part of the money and lay at the apostles' feet. And then they were going to lie about it. And here's what happened. Peter looked at him and said, "Is this the full price you got for the land?" Ananias said, "Yep." Holy Spirit said to Peter, "Nope." Peter said, "How could you lie to God?" It wasn't that he didn't give the full price. All he had to do was come up and say, "Hey, this is not the full price, but I still want to give this to the church." You know what Peter would have said? "Praise God. Thank you, brother." But it was the fact that he lied. And he said, "This is the full price." He said, "You've not lied to men. You've lied to God." And at that moment, God struck Ananias dead right there. Dead. D-E-A-D, dead. 3 hours later, his wife comes in. She comes up to Peter. And Peter just asked her, said, "Was that the full price you got for the land?" She said, "Yep." Holy Spirit spoke to Peter, said, "Nope." And Peter said, "Guess what? The feet of those who carried your husband's dead body are at the door. They'll be here for you." And she dropped dead. Don't mess with the justice of God. Because God was completely just in doing that. And again, it wasn't that they didn't give the full price. It was that they lied about it and they lied to God. And God was setting up a new church. And God knew that if that got around in the new church was tanked. Don't lie to God. Don't lie to God. These people had one purpose, to proclaim boldly the word of God that people's lives might be changed. They had one passion, that their lives would so illustrate the power of God that those around them would see and believe. And they had one power. Listen to this. It's chapter 5, verse 12. "The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number." They had one purpose, to boldly declare the glory of God and the word of God. They had one passion, to live their lives in such a way that people would see and believe. And they had one power. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, many miraculous signs were done, many wonders were done. But remember, it's not about the miraculous signs and wonders. It's so that people would see and believe. And so I'm going to ask you a question tonight in your own life. Have you been transformed? Have you been changed by the Holy Spirit that dwells in you? Because I'm going to promise you, if the Holy Spirit dwells in you, you will be changed. Bottom line. And if the Holy Spirit does not dwell in you, you will continue to do evil. That's what sin is. You will continue to be evil. You will continue to act evil. You will continue to bring about evil in the world. Because all you'll be able to do is take. Have you been transformed? Tonight, hear that Jesus loves you. And tonight, hear that the depth of your sin is great. You say, "I'm not worthy of God's love." You're right, you're not. You're not worthy of God's love. I'm not worthy of God's love. But Jesus said you were worth it. And he said you were worth it so much that he stretched out his arms after he had taken every bit of your sin and my sin upon himself, and he died on the cross in our place. And so even though I may not be worthy of God's love, Jesus said I'm worth it. And he paid the price for my sin. And he paid the price for your sin. And on the third day, he arose from the grave. And his call to you today is this. That if you will come to him and confess that you are a sinner, you have spit upon and destroyed God's law, but you know that he's a Savior, and invite him to come into your life. As you repent of sin, receive him as your Lord and Savior, then he will save you. And not only will he save you, he will change you. He will change you to be more like him. over the course of a lifetime. Now listen, it doesn't happen in a second. If you just got saved Sunday and you're in here because you're coming to church and your life still hadn't had this grandiose transformation, that's okay. The Bible says you're still a babe in Christ. I have a babe at home. He can't even get up on his own. I have to pick it up. I have to pick him up. I have to wipe his hind end. I have to change his diaper. Okay? He's changed, but he's still a babe. Okay? So if you hadn't known Christ for a long time, you're still a babe. But if you say you've been following Christ for a long time, and there's no change in you, I'm pleading with you, come receive Christ tonight. Some of you haven't been baptized biblically. I want to take 2 seconds and share my story with you. Started going to church when I was 3 years old, to a church down the road. Common Presbyterian Church, beautiful church. I loved it, and much of my faith was formed there. But when I was 6 years old, one day I skipped out to go to children's church, and I decided I didn't want to go to children's church during the sermon, so I just ran around in the fellowship hall and went and bought myself a Dr. Pepper and drank it. All of a sudden, my cousin comes out, and she grabs me. She says, come here, your mom wants you. And I'm brought into the sanctuary, and we don't stop at the seat. No, no, no. We walk up front, and here we stand with this towering preacher. I'm 6 years old. My mom's in tears, and I'm like, what? She says, you're going to get baptized today. Okay, cool. And so I remember the preacher dipped his hand in the bowl and he set it on my head and the water ran down all over me and I kind of laughed because it kind of tickled. And that was my baptism. And he said, Jeff and I have talked about this and I love this man to death. But no, we hadn't talked about that. All right? And so I've been baptized, right? A few years later, I received Christ and went on to begin attending church here. And when I got around some Southern Baptists, they told me that I hadn't been really baptized. I said, well, you can kiss my foot. I too have been baptized. I remember I was 6. Water ran down. It tickled. I laughed. And they said, well, no, baptism is baptism by immersion in water in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit after you've been saved. And I said, well, I don't buy that. That's just tradition of man. The Bible's open. It doesn't really say. And then I went and started studying Greek in college. And I went back and read the original language. And that word baptize that we have in our Bible, in Greek it's baptizo. Sounds pretty similar, doesn't it? Baptizo, all right? There's a reason it sounds so similar. Because flesh, the word in Greek is sarx. So we don't run around talking about our sarx. That would be weird. We talk about our flesh. But the reason it sounds similar is when King James had the translators translate the Bible into English, the translators didn't translate that word. They didn't shift over its meaning. They just transliterated it. They changed the Greek letters to the English letters. And so baptizo sounds a lot like baptize, okay? The problem with this is that baptizo is not a big, special, holy word in the Greek. It's a common, everyday word. It means to dip or to immerse. And so if you're Greek and you're washing your dishes and you're going to dunk it in the water to get the soap off of it, you would say, I'm going to baptize my dish. No Father, Son, Holy Ghost involved. It's just baptizo. All right? The word baptizo that we translate baptize literally means to dip or to immerse. And so biblical baptism is the immersion of the believer in water, of a believer in water who has already received Christ, who's already made a profession of faith in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And maybe tonight, you know, you've not been baptized and the Spirit of God has been talking to you for a while about it. And you need to do it. Not because I said so. Don't do it because I said so. Who cares about me? I'm just a fat boy who's preaching up here tonight. Do it because God said so. But if God's saying so, do it. We can do it right now. We got shorts and t-shirts and robes. We could do it Sunday. We could do it at Godstock next weekend, along with many others who will step into the lake to be baptized at the beach. But my prayer for you tonight is that whatever God is saying to you, whatever He's speaking to you, do it. Because if God's speaking to you, then it's the Word of God. And the Bible says it's living and active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Will you pray with me? Father, tonight you have allowed us to examine your Word. And Father, tonight, despite my failings, you've spoken to us. And so, Lord, my prayer is that whatever you have asked us to do, that we will do it. If it's to come to you, to repent of sin and to believe that you are the Son of God who died and rose again, then may we do it. If it's to come and be baptized, even if it needs to be done right now, may we do it. Lord, if it's to come and pray that we might more fully live the lives that you have called us to live so that people would see and believe that you are God, that be it. I pray we'd come pray for us as a church, that we would boldly proclaim the word of God wherever we go, at the office, at the park, wherever it is we go. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Will you stand with me? In the name of Jesus, this altar is open. Please come.